The study that I'm going to be talking about looks at the association between the diaper bag that is given to a mother when she leaves the hospital and breastfeeding outcomes. And again, we're using the same data set that Deborah was using, and I have nothing to disclose. So some of you may know that formula company-sponsored diaper discharge bags are given out to the vast majority of women in the United States in violation of the WHO code for the marketing for breast substitutes. And these diaper bags are given out. Well, when we've done some tracking of this, about 90% of hospitals, it's going down a little bit, but around about 90% of hospitals. There have been some studies looking at the impact that this has on breastfeeding, but none of them have gone out to as far as 6 months. And we chose to look at 6 months because of the current AAP guideline, which is that babies should be breastfed for 6 months exclusively. The overall objective of the study was to determine whether the receipt of four different types of bag was associated with any or exclusive breastfeeding for the first 6 months of life. So we use the Infant Feeding Practices Survey 2. This is, as Deborah explained, a national US-based longitudinal mail-in survey, which was conducted between 2005 and 2007. They're actually preparing a new one for the next decade, I guess. And it was put together by a group of government agencies. From this data set, we used the prenatal questionnaire that was asked of mothers to gain demographic data on our sample. And then we looked at all the questionnaires through 6 months, which was about monthly, for information on breastfeeding outcomes. And the information about the diaper bag that they got was asked at the first questionnaire postpartum, which was about 2 to 3 weeks after they gave birth in general. The specific question that we took from the survey to look at the outcomes was, did you receive a gift pack or diaper bag from the hospital or birth centre, yes or no? And if women answered yes to that question, they would also have responded to the following question: were any of the following included in the gift pack? Infant formula coupons, and breastfeeding supplies. We made these into four mutually exclusive categories: formula bag, coupon bag, breastfeeding supply bag, and no bag. Now, it was possible that women got both formula and coupons. It was possible that women got formula and breastfeeding supplies. We chose to categorize them because, we wanted to look at four different groups. So we used a sort of system that formula trumped everything. So if people had formula in the gift bag, they were considered to have a formula bag. They may also have had coupons. They may also have had breastfeeding supplies. If they had coupons, we ascribed them to that group. And then if they had breastfeeding supplies, that was basically all they had. And one of the rationales for doing this is that sometimes the formula companies put some kinds of breastfeeding supplies into the formula bag. And if we reckon that, at least with using these kind of categories, a breastfeeding supply bag was likely not to have been given out by the formula company. So it was probably a bag that was given by the hospital as an alternative. But the limitation was there's possible crossover, so some may have got multiple. But you would never get anyone that got a breastfeeding bag and formula, because anyone in that group didn't get formula. And these were the analyses that we used to look at the data. When we started to look at the data, we found that we did not have enough women in each of the four categories at 6 months to be able to compare them. So we decided to do another analysis in the interim based on the fact that we didn't have enough, and that was it was post hoc. It wasn't our goal, but we decided to do it. And we decided to look at 10 weeks because we thought that probably at 10 weeks we would have enough people in each category, and we chose 10 weeks because there are two recent studies, one of which we had done looking at 10 weeks as an outcome point. So in terms of what people got, we had complete data for the sample we were looking at, which means that they completed the prenatal questionnaire and the breastfeeding questionnaire through 6 months on 2,964 women. Of that group, 81% we put into the formula bag category, 5% got just coupons but no formula, 2% got only breastfeeding supplies, and 13% of them got no bag at all from the hospital. And when we did the six-month analysis, we combined the formula and the coupon bag into one group and breastfeeding and no bag into the other group. And these are our results. So I'm only showing you, because of the time factor, the adjusted data. But these are the adjusted data. So whenever you do an analysis like, you know, a time-sensitive analysis like this, it's kind of this double negative. It's the time to the cessation of breastfeeding. So if you look, for example, at the no bag category at the top there, the reference group is the formula bag. People who got no bag at all were less likely to stop breastfeeding early than people who got the formula bag. Okay, so they were less likely to stop. So getting no bag was protective. And this is for any breastfeeding risk slide. That was protective at 10 weeks against stopping breastfeeding early. You can see that getting a bag with coupons was not significantly different from getting a bag with formula in it. But getting a bag with just breastfeeding supplies in it was more protective than anything. And the women who got just breastfeeding supplies were less likely to stop breastfeeding early than others. And it was controlled for a lot of all the other significant factors. This is looking at early cessation at 10 weeks, and this is looking at exclusive breastfeeding. So again, you can see that the formula bag is a reference group, and looking at the variables that we have of interest, the women who got no bag were less likely to stop exclusively breastfeeding early. And then if you look in this particular, you look at exclusivity, getting coupons actually was different than getting formula. So if you got only coupons and you didn't get formula, that was protective relative to getting formula in the bag. And again, the breastfeeding bag was the most protective against early cessation of exclusive breastfeeding. And you can see all the other variables that came out as independent predictors, and they are kind of what we would expect. So having a C-section, you were actually more likely to stop breastfeeding early than if you had a vaginal delivery, for example. Education was protective against early cessation. So everything else came out kind of as predicted. So looking to 6 months, where we actually combined these variables, we had the reference group was getting formula or coupons, and or coupons in a bag, and the other category was getting either no bag or getting a breastfeeding bag, and those two were combined. And you can see that in any breastfeeding at 6 months, women who got no bag or breastfeeding bag were more likely to be protected against early cessation of any breastfeeding at 6 months. And I think this is the first study that's really looked at 6 months. No one else has. It, again, like Deborah was saying, it's a really good data set. There's a lot of information in it, and you can actually get data through 6 months. And that's actually the other reason we chose these data, because they have four bags. Most stuff, it's no bag or a formula bag. This had different kinds of bags because it's such a big sample. And similarly for exclusive breastfeeding, if people got no bag or a breastfeeding bag, they were less likely to stop exclusively breastfeeding early than people who got a formula or coupon bag, and that was very statistically significant. So in conclusion, despite recommendations to the contrary, our data backed up from the infant feeding survey that most people, the vast majority of women in these hospitals, do get formula sample packs. And that sample packs distribution negatively impact exclusive and any breastfeeding at 6 months postpartum as well as at 10 weeks. And another sad note is that the bag that was the most protective, that getting breastfeeding supplies, was only given to 2% of the sample. So very few people were actually getting the thing that actually helped them to maintain breastfeeding. So that's it. So if anyone has any questions, yes. That's a really good question, and that's the limitation of the data. I don't actually even remember if it does. When it was done, there were very few baby-friendly hospitals. Like right now, it's about 4%. And so in about 5 years ago, 2-3%. It's possible that the women who were getting those breastfeeding bags were delivering at hospitals that were extremely supportive of breastfeeding, and that the practice has made a difference. So that is a very good question, and it's a possibility. In terms of the actual baby-friendly hospital, there were so few of them, and these women from all over the country, so the chance of them, any one woman delivering at a baby-friendly hospital, was probably around about 2%. So it's not probably a big impact, but it's possible that the hospitals that give out those bags were doing something very different than the other ones. Yeah. Yes, ma'am. Yes, it was. I'm sorry, I should have said that. It was only among initiators, yes. Because everyone here started breastfeeding. We didn't look at formula feeders because we didn't think, I mean, obviously giving a bag to a formula feeder isn't going to make a difference whether they breastfeed or not, because they're not doing it. So this is only among breastfeeding women, any and exclusive.
Okay.
At the time of discharge. At the time of answering the first questionnaire, which was about when they were discharged. So they answered the questionnaire at 3 weeks and they said they were breastfeeding when they discharged. Any other questions? Yeah.
Regarding the WHO code on breast milk substitution, I guess it's not quite enforced.
No, it's not.
The situation. I mean, other than kind of adopting the baby-friendly initiative, I don't know if it takes you any way to, I mean, I guess it's simply a recommendation. Is there any way to kind of, in terms of providing incentive and
The WHO code is violated all over the place all the time in the United States. There are many, many examples. The formula bag stuff, we are, as advocates, have worked very hard through a movement called Ban the Bags, which I started with another colleague in Massachusetts, and it's gone national. And that movement has actually been quite successful, and I've written a couple of papers which have been published showing that in the last few years, the distribution of bags has really gone down. In fact, Massachusetts, where I'm from, and Rhode Island, none of the hospitals in those two states give bags anymore. And it's definitely a big trend. And this was 2005-7 data. Definitely, it's not that high anymore, for sure. And if you Google online ban the bags, that it will bring you up a website. And on that website, we list every single hospital that tells us that they don't have bags anymore. Yeah. Yeah, the question is whether we were worried about low-income women and whether the formula bag might have been helpful for them. So there's two things. One is that we know that actually impacts from a GAO report that it impacts women who have low income more than it does other women. So they're less likely to breastfeed. And rather being concerned that it would help them, I'm concerned that it would hinder them, because if they have a bag like this, they're less likely to go on to exclusively breastfeed, and exclusively breastfeeding is the healthiest thing for the baby. There are a lot of people who are concerned, as you say, that, you know, if we don't give the babies these bags, they're going to starve. But unless you're working in a very remote part of the United States, most parents are going to be able to buy formula 24 hours a day from a pharmacy. So, and if they're going to formula feed, they need to buy formula. So I don't really buy into anything about people suffering because they're not getting the formula. Really, they're suffering because the baby's suffering because they're not getting the breast milk. Am I done? Thank you.